Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen. Make sure my pointer's working. See, there we go. All right. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you this morning, Lord. We thank you for your godly wisdom, which is available to each and every one of us through your word, through the Bible, Father God. We thank you for the many blessings that you bestow upon us through your word and through the strength of your word, Father. And may you bless this morning and everyone here with your mighty word. May you open the hearts and minds of everyone here, Father God, that we may receive your peace and your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Godly wisdom brings love and peace. That's my sermon title today. And pretty much speaks for itself. Amen. Because that's what it does. So in today's text, just like in the text of Pastor Rick's sermon from last week, it appears James is still talking to leaders, amen, leaders in the church, teachers, but this could apply to each and every one of us, amen? Remember in verse 1 from last week, he said that, you know, that teachers and leaders would be judged more strictly, amen? And like I talked about, Pastor Rick warning me, you know, we're going to be judged more severely. Are you sure you want to do this, right? Amen. So, and it also talked about the dangers of our human speech in verse 9, about how we need to watch what comes out of our mouths and the things we say. Amen. And the things we say, the good things we say come from God's wisdom. Amen. So get ready for the true focus factor. And I say that because I love those, focus factor. You know what focus factor is? The pills that you take for the brain pills. Well, I need that, so I take focus factor sometimes. But this is the true focus factor that comes from the Lord above. Amen? So first we're going to talk about what is not true wisdom, and then we're going to talk about what is, okay? So first verse says, who is wise and understanding among you, let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. So, folly is the opposite of wisdom, okay? Folly is the opposite of wisdom, and a fool is the opposite of a wise person. So we're going to talk about both. Both wisdom and folly are depicted as philosophies or perspectives on our lives. The religious person usually chooses wisdom, amen? Whereas the non-religious person usually chooses folly. Wisdom leads to victory, and folly usually leads to defeat. Amen? And so wisdom belongs to those who fear God. Wisdom belongs to those who fear God. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, right? Proverbs says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So, wisdom is the essence of life. It's the essence of life. The foolish person is the one who is thoughtless, who's self-centered, and who's obviously indifferent to God. That's the foolish person. Wisdom is the ability to see life through God's perspective. Wisdom is the ability to see life through God's perspective. Tony Evans wrote, he said, wisdom is seeing and interpreting life from God's perspective and then making life's decisions based on that understanding. That's wisdom. So that's the difference between knowledge and wisdom, right? Knowledge is knowing stuff, but wisdom is knowing how to apply it, right? So, remember in the first chapter of James, verse 5, he said, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God who gives generously. Just ask God who gives generously and it will be given to you. That if we believe this, we will receive His wisdom. And all we have to do is ask for it. Amen? How many of us are praying for wisdom in our lives? Right? Amen. In our marriages, in our jobs, in raising our kids, in raising our grandkids, in our schooling, even in our ministries, we should be praying for God's wisdom in everything we do. Amen? Through our relationship with Jesus Christ, we must humble ourselves and ask God for His wisdom. That's the key, is to humble ourselves first. If we humble ourselves, it's much easier to ask God for His wisdom. Amen? And this is the only true wisdom that will bring us peace in all of our affairs. Unification.net wrote that humility is an essential attitude for success in the spiritual life. any self-conceit, whether nurtured by superior intelligence, wealth, a high position, or the praise of others, is an obstacle on the path. Genuine humility is not posturing. It requires a constant willingness to deny oneself, to be critical of oneself, and to be open to heaven's guidance, even when it differs from one's own preconceived concepts. So in order to receive the true wisdom that comes from God, we need to humble ourselves, basically is what it's saying. Amen? We need to humble ourselves. But the other kind of wisdom, the false kind of wisdom, comes from self-ambition, comes from our pride, and it definitely does not come from God. Amen? And that's the worldly wisdom that we're going to talk about. So the next verse is 14 says, "But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but it is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic." Earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. So just because someone is loud and at the forefront, and maybe even well-spoken, that doesn't mean that they're wise. Amen? Just because they know how to speak and they're up in front of everybody doesn't mean that they're wise. Amen? Sometimes we start to follow the wrong people just because they seem to know what they're talking about. Okay? Because they seem to know what they're talking about. We see a lot of this in the televangelists of today. Many of them are leading people astray because they seem to know what they're talking about. Amen? But how do we test? How would he test everything? By God's word, right? Amen? Amen. 1 John 4:1 says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world." And Romans 16:18 says, "For such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. And by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive." There are many smart people out there claiming to be speaking God's word. Some of them call themselves pastors and some don't. But if what they're selling goes against the word of God, they're preaching a false wisdom. Amen? And these people may have a lot of knowledge, but lack wisdom. Now watch this. I like saying that. Charles Stanley always says, "Now watch this," right? Now watch this. Knowledge is the information and wisdom, but the wisdom is knowing how to apply it, right? So knowledge is, we can all have knowledge, but the key is to have the wisdom of God, knowing how to apply that knowledge to our lives. So if someone is truly wise in the wisdom of God, it will be evident in everything they say and everything they do and how they handle things, right? It'll be evident. If you live a life of good conduct, it shows that you are wise. I guess it's kind of saying that nice people are wise people, right? Amen? But at the same time, if you're always acting the fool, then it shows your lack of wisdom. There he is, Kanye West. Amen. All right. And my wife said, "Don't put that in there." I'm like, "Come on, man." It may seem like smart people are the ones that know how to get away with things. And it may seem like they're the ones that are winning for a time, right? But the Bible says that true wisdom is shown by good conduct in your lives. That's true wisdom. If you want true wisdom, peace, and joy in your life, this right here is the owner's manual to your life. Amen? And if it doesn't go hand in hand with this, then we got a problem. So the Bible will tell you how to get the most out of your life, but most importantly, it'll tell you how to peacefully get the most out of life. Peacefully. So Jesus says it perfectly, of course, in John 14:27. He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give it to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." Amen. Said it all right there, right? That's the whole sermon in one paragraph. Amen. So Charles Spurgeon wrote, he said, "Oh friends, Christ has peace enough and to spare. He is himself personally the deep wellspring of an endless peace, and therefore we can understand why we always find peace in him." why we always find peace in Him. This kind of peace we find only through the wisdom of our Lord and Savior. But getting back to the pride and self-ambition of false wisdom, verse 15, remember verse 15 said, such wisdom, false wisdom, does not come down from heaven, but it is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Adam Clark gives us these definitions. He said, earthly, first of all, earthly is about having only this world in view, right? That's the opposite of kingdomized that we talk about, right? So earthly is only having this world in view and not worrying about eternity, but just worrying about what's here right now. Unspiritual, the second word, unspiritual, is about being not concerned with religious values, not caring what the Bible says, not caring what God thinks, not fearing God, right? Just unspiritual. And then the third one is demonic. Third one is demonic, inspired by demons and maintained in the soul by their influence. Inspired by demons. So it is demons that wish to promote this kind of wisdom, this worldly wisdom. Amen? It's demons that wish to promote that. A wisdom that comes from our finite minds rather than from the infinite God that created us. Right? It just comes from our, what do they say? We only use 10% of our minds, right? Right? And the result of this false wisdom is what he says in verse 16. The result is, for where you have envy and self-ambition, you will find disorder and every evil practice. I don't think any of us really want disorder and every evil practice, right? So verse 16 is the fruit of earthly wisdom. Disorder and evil practices is the fruit of earthly wisdom. When we look around at the world today, we see many problems, we see crisis, we see fears. It is extreme disorder that's caused by many evil practices. And even America is getting caught up in it, right? We used to be one nation under God. And today it seems like we're one nation running away from God, right? And the vast majority of today's world, even those who profess to be Christians, are living on earthly wisdom. They're living on earthly wisdom. Vladimir Putin may be a very smart man, but his decision to invade the Ukraine was not a wise decision. I guarantee you, though, that Vladimir and his Red Army do not have godly wisdom or a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? They have a dead, worldly wisdom that produces many evil practices. It's sad. Now, this worldly wisdom promoted by the flesh and the devil, it may be able to accomplish some things like making a lot of money or becoming famous or extremely popular, but the ultimate result is always going to be disorder and evil practices, which, most importantly, will not lead you to salvation. Matthew 16:26 says, for what will it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Charles Spurgeon wrote again, he said, wisdom is the right use of knowledge. To know is not to be wise. Many men know a great deal and are all the greater fools for it. There is no fool so great a fool as a knowing fool. But to know how to use knowledge is to have wisdom. So I guess it's kind of dangerous to have all that knowledge if you don't have any wisdom. Amen? But in contrast to that is the good news of pure godly wisdom. Pure godly wisdom that brings love and peace to our lives. And that is what our last two verses are all about. This is the good part. Okay? This is the good part. Verse 17 says, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, then considerate, then submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Amen, right? So first he says, But the wisdom that comes from heaven is, these things that we're going to talk about are the opposite of the dead, demonic wisdom of the world, or the wisdom of the flesh, if you will. Now, what are the characteristics of the wisdom from heaven? Matthew Henry writes about the first three, okay? I didn't pick Matthew Henry for all of them because he gets a little long-winded in his definitions. But the first one, pure, okay? He says about pure, he said, free from iniquity and defilements and not allowing of any known sin. That's the first characteristic, pure. Second is peace-loving. He said, so peace follows purity and depends upon it. Those who are truly wise do what they can to preserve peace, that it may not be broken, and to make peace, that where it is lost, it may be restored. In kingdoms, in families, in churches, in all societies, and in all interviews and transactions, heavenly wisdom makes men peaceable. And thirdly, considerate or gentle. Not standing upon extreme right in matters of property. Not saying or doing anything rigorous in points of censure. Not being furious about opinions. Not being rude or overbearing in conversation. Nor harsh and cruel in temper. Being considerate or gentle is what we call the golden rule, right? Do unto others as we would have them do to us. Amen? That's what it says in Luke 6:31. Acting in this way, acting in that type of way is a mark that shows that that's from heaven, right? That's the worldly wisdom that we receive from heaven. And that's a mark that shows that we have that worldly wisdom, or that godly wisdom. Amen? Number four is submissive. Submissive. Most of the time we think of God's people as those who are not submissive, right? Will not compromise, and in a sense, we would be right, because Christians should never compromise when it comes to the gospel, right? We should never, and that's why people look at us and say, oh, they're never going to compromise. We should never compromise when it comes to the gospel, and we shouldn't compromise when it comes to our morality, right? Those things we should never compromise on. And we should never compromise when it comes to godly living. But if a person is always stubborn and never willing to submit, that is not a mark of godly wisdom. At the same time, we should not be stubborn. We should be open. Amen? It says right here in verse 17 that being submissive is part of the wisdom that comes from heaven. Being submissive. William Barclay wrote, he said, true wisdom is not rigid, but is willing to listen and skilled in knowing when wisely to submit. We should be willing to listen, right? We should be willing to listen. We do not want to compromise when it comes to our relationship with Christ and the fundamental morality that we have as Christians. But in the day-to-day give and take things in our daily lives that are not a matter of scripture or morals, we should be willing to submit without being so stubborn. And this is another mark of heavenly wisdom. Number five is full of mercy. We should be full of mercy. The wisdom that comes from heaven does not judge others strictly. It doesn't judge others strictly. On the law, but it shows a hand of mercy, right? We talk about God showing us His mercy, and we should be doing the same, showing our mercy to others, right? Just like in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew it says, for in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you, right? So we should treat others as we would want to be treated ourselves, right? And we should be treating others as God treats us. So if we are full of mercy towards other people and show that kind of heavenly wisdom, then God will be full of mercy towards us. Amen. Number six is good fruit. Good fruit. There's that fruit again, right? There's the evidence of our faith once again. James is talking about the evidence of our faith. The good fruit which godly wisdom produces in our lives. Godly wisdom is not just about thinking or saying the right things. It's about a way of life that produces good fruit. It's not just a show. It's not just what we say or what we're showing people. It's the way we live. Amen? It's the way we live that matters. Number 7, impartial and sincere. Meaning that it cannot be prejudiced. We talked about that in my last sermon. But now James is saying about, again, that God's wisdom is impartial. God's wisdom is God does not judge people on the basis of race or class or nationality or ethnicity. He doesn't judge us on any of that, right? So when we reflect the wisdom that comes from heaven, we are called to be impartial as well. We are called to be impartial as well. This is the good fruit that people should see in our lives. So real godly wisdom that comes from above should produce sincere and authentic people. Real people, right? Real people. We should be living in the truth and at peace in everything we do. This is what God calls us to do. And this is the fruit that is produced by a relationship in Jesus Christ. This is the fruit that we want. But if you're here today and you do not have a relationship with Christ, we as followers of Christ are here to tell you that we cannot meet God's standards. We cannot meet God's standards on our own. It's impossible for us to earn His love. It's impossible for us to meet His standards and keep the law of the prophets. And this is why God did for us what we could never do for ourselves. Right? He sent His Son, amen? His only Son to sacrifice for our sins. So that we could have access to the eternal life that He offers. And His Word says that if we will, by faith, trust in Him for the finished work on the cross, then it is done. Right? He said it Himself. It is done. That we will be reconciled into a relationship with God the Father, and He will live His life through us in all we do, in all we say. That is the gospel. That's the definition of the gospel. And that is why godly wisdom will lead us. That's what it'll lead us to experience. Amen? Peace and love and hope. The life of Christ living through each and every one of us. Amen. And our last verse says, finally our last verse says, peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. A lot in that little verse. Amen. So peace and righteousness, these things are the results of being directed by godly wisdom. We all want peace and righteousness. Amen. We all want that. So the challenge for us is to relentlessly try to pursue godly wisdom in all we endeavor. With today's social media and the abundant amounts of ungodly influence in the world, we can very easily get off track. We need to be directed by what God desires for our lives. Directed by what God created us for, right? That's what God created us for. That's what we were made for. This is how we will find true peace and how we will reap a harvest of righteousness in everything we do. Jeremiah 6:14 said, many cry, peace, peace, when there is no peace. There was a old first church in the court square of Springfield, Illinois. It's the oldest church in the city. But they have long ago departed from the gospel and the Prince of Peace. For several years they had held a vigil to defend a woman's right to choose to have her growing baby torn from the safety of its mother's womb. Notwithstanding a profession of Christianity, this church and its leadership had turned against the one they claimed to represent. They had become an example of the scripture that states, those who hate God's wisdom love death. The dwindling congregation had to finally face the reality that they must disband and forever close their doors in January of 2008. It was better that though than to go on misrepresenting the Prince of Peace. Amen. It was better just to close the doors. That angel represented the Savior as the one who came to bring peace on earth. Thank God, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And this is the peace that we have here at Amazing Grace. The peace of Jesus Christ. Peace rules the heart when its Prince is welcomed. But remember, the only path of peace is still the narrow way. Amen? Amen. May God's wisdom and God's peace be with you all. Amen? Let us pray. Lord in heaven, we thank you, Father. We thank you for your godly wisdom, which is available to us all in everything we do. Lord, we pray that you continue to strengthen us with your word. And we thank you for the many blessings, the many answers to prayer, the strength and the peace and the hope and the love that you give us each and every day, Father. We lift up all those struggling, Lord, that they may realize and turn to you, Father, turn to your word and live their lives peacefully, showing love and consideration and to others. That we may show the grace that you show us each and every day to everyone we encounter in everything we do. We thank you, Father, that you go before us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.